Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Today, this team didn't flinch. Nothing was able to deny us.
Pocket collapsing. He's going to be dunked. No, he's still up. And now he throws it downfield. Duvernay makes a catch. The way I put it down, they never put him down. The Bills came from 17 points down to beat the Baltimore Ravens.
We needed a spark. You know, thought he could provide a spark for us.
The only thing I'm thinking about is winning out there, and, you know, that didn't happen.
The Jets have won it. Packers 27-24 victory in overtime.
And the Dallas Cowboys are 3-1.
Touchdown, Kansas City. Mahomes, magic.
And the Chiefs with an outstanding, exhilarating victory here in Tampa, Florida.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPNU. You can download the podcast, you can listen on your smart speaker, or if you want to take us with you wherever you go, not be tied to the car, to the radio, whatever, check out the ESPN app. Click on the app, lower right-hand corner, click on more, scroll down, listen live, boom. Yes. You take us with you.
Find us. We're there.
And we're presented by Progressive Insurance. Good morning, Key. Good morning, Jay. It's a good morning when the Giants win.
Way better morning than when it was last weekend.
Way better morning than it was this time last year for Giants fans.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was trying to think, and we've talked about this on the show, but it's something I contemplate from time to time. How much as a percentage of your entire life is better when your football team wins? But just emotionally as a fan. Key, does that affect you at all, but you played in the league, so not so much? What about SC? When SC is good, how much better is your life? Is it the same?
It's better. I feel good. Waking up Sunday morning, you feel, you know that they've won, but it also, they need to be winning, not just winning a game, right?
Yeah, they right. They got to be relevant.
You got to be relevant. Yeah, yeah. You got to be in the mix.
Yeah, the Giants improved my life minimum 5% overall life, everything, career, kids, relationships, everything is 5% better when the Giants are good.
Because it's competitive though, Max, but here's the one thing that you can't let yourself go to, a place you can't let yourself go to, irrational confidence. You have to see it for what it is. At the end of the day, it's a decent team.
Yeah.
But that's
they
it.
They compete.
They compete.
I just
want to
see the team compete. Okay. You know why people knew Detroit would be better this year? Because they saw them competing last year. They go, okay, they're competing. You know why I love like Tomlin and Harbaugh in the North and the AFC? They compete every year, every week. You see the team competing. I see my Giants competing for the first time in a long time.
Well, they 3-1, man.
Yeah.
They're not 3-1 by accident. And I think, people look at it and go, they don't have much. No, they don't have names and things. They're 3-1.
Well,
and when you're 3-1, you got a chance to be 4-1, right? I mean, that's the reality of it. And so you just don't know in the end where this team can wind up.
You look up
in a thumb here, a toe there for, elbow here, a knee there for some of these teams. And the Giants would be right in the mix because, if the season ended today, where would they be? The mix.
Daniel Jones has looked good so far this year. I call it like I see it. Not much of an offensive line yet. No receivers. They got that the bootleg. They got the play action. I really love the way he and Saquon sell it. To me, they sell it, which is a big reason. Like the details. The key you talk about, like the details. The details, they sell that fake handoff and stuff, right? And it works. And because you got to respect Saquon, that whole side of the field is open for Daniel Jones and he can scoot, right? So anyway, Daniel Jones hurts his ankle. He comes out. Geno Smith.
Tyrod Taylor.
We're just talking.
TT.
Tyrod Taylor comes out. Snake bit career Tyrod
Concussion.
Taylor. Concussion first thing.
First play. I'm like, oh, TT can't get right.
First thing. You know, in a parallel universe, Tyrod Taylor's had a great NFL career. Right? Like, he's good. He just can't catch a break. Anyway,
Not meant to be, man. Sometimes it's just not meant to be.
How you feeling after your ankle injury, Daniel Jones?
I feel good. A little sore, but all good. So listen to the trainers and doctors and go from there, but feeling good.
It seemed like the last time you came out, your limp looked a little better than earlier on. Did you actually feel better by the end than you did when this first happened?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Once I got out there, I got, you know, back loose again and felt a little better. But like I said, I'm feeling good, and I'll listen to the trainers and doctors and go from there.
All right. Good that he's feeling good, because Saquon was taking – they were snapping the ball directly to Saquon, running a wildcat. I was hoping Saquon could throw, because he's really who I want as my franchise quarterback, right? But, you know, it's not to be. And here's the question with Saquon. Should they consider trading him? His trade value is extremely high right now. Anyone that's missing dynamism out of the backfield that thinks they can win a Super Bowl, they add Saquon. It could be like the Rams adding Odell last year, right? Like, that might be the difference for a
maybe,
team. Yeah.
Maybe they don't want to do that, though. You know,
Giants.
Maybe they want to pay him, you know, a deal. Maybe they want to give him a deal. You know, what is that deal? Is it a 3-year deal? Is it a 4-year deal? How much money? Because if you think that you got something in Saquon Barkley over the next 3 to 4 years, then you go ahead and you pay him what it's worth. If not, you move on from him and you get value, because you don't value the running back position. You go get value, much like you said, from somebody who, you know, like Saquon Barkley.
I just feel with everything that Brian Daboll has came into this season with how he's got this team to rally around each other, there's a toughness that comes along with that. That if you were to trade Saquon Barkley soon, right, this season, like, it shows that you're giving up on the season, essentially.
You know, can I tell you something, Jay? Did you bring that up? I would be irrational about this in a way. I wouldn't look for reasons that make sense. Here's the bottom line for me with Saquon as a Giants fan. I think Key is probably right when he brought that up originally. Trade him now when you have value for him. And that's probably the right thing to do. I never want to pay the running back. It's not that I don't want them to get their money. It's just those contracts don't seem to work out. The Giants aren't knocking on the door of a Super Bowl right now. But you know why I couldn't trade him as a Giants fan? He's who I want to watch every week.
He is the Giants.
Yes.
He is the Giants.
He's who I want to watch every week. It makes me feel good and proud to be a Giants fan when I see him carry the ball.
But you got to make a decision on him, Max. Because the time is running
out. I'm
going to have
to pay him. Listen, I hate to say it.
You either got to pay him.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
As a Giant. Or you trade him and get the value so somebody else can pay him.
Yep.
Because I know the first thing people say is, well, you can franchise him. When you franchise tag somebody, that's not a good thing. They don't want to be franchise tagged. They want to get their money. They don't want to be used up. They don't want to be felt like they're being used up. They want to get their money. So, you know, whatever the tag number is, $12 million, whatever that number is, that's not good enough for a running back like Saquon Barkley.
That's the point, Jay. I know it's not smart to pay the running back. I can't help it. I would pay Saquon Barkley. I want to watch him and root for him. I want him on the team.
But it's like the highest paid players in the NFL are quarterbacks, right? Like, that's who we associate teams with. You say Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes. You say the Chargers, Justin Herbert. You say the Raiders, Derek Carr, right? Quarterbacks. When you say the Giants,
Saquon
I'm sorry,
Barkley.
I don't say Daniel Jones. No. I say Saquon Barkley. It's almost like when I say Tennessee, I say King Henry. I don't say Ryan Tannehill.
Right.
It's certain players that are the faces of the organization, and I think he's the representation moving forward about how the franchise wants to build the
problem
culture.
Problem is when you don't point to the quarterback and you say that name, a lot of
Agreed.
Times it means you're not good enough, right?
Yeah, but you have to have something to bridge you
Unless
to
it's
that
Aaron
quarterback.
Donald. Yeah.
You have somebody to bridge you to the quarterback eventually.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I like, and Saquon is – you're never going to get equal value for him because he can do things really no one else can do at his 235 and making those kind of plays, you know? How are you going to get equal value for him? What, do you think a third-round pick is worth what he can do? I don't think it is, and yet, what, are you going to get a first-round pick for a running back? No. So
yeah, you here's what you do. If I'm the New York Giants, I'm going to pay him – whatever I pay him, a 3-year deal, 4-year deal, whatever that number is. I'm going to find my quarterback. I'm going to get me some receivers, and we're going to go win a Super Bowl.
Yep.
I like that plan.
There you go.
That's what they should be thinking. If they're not thinking that, then they're thinking in the wrong direction.
You don't like what you've seen from Dan. I got to tell you, Daniel Jones, considering they have very little pass protection and no receivers, to me, he hasn't looked great, but he's looked pretty good. I have to admit it. And you know, the idea of him as a bridge.
Can you win a Super Bowl with him? Ain't that what you always try to say, Max? Oh, if I can't win the Super Bowl, the guy.
You know what's crazy? I still can't answer the question because I haven't seen him play behind a line yet. Let me give him a line of some receivers.
After 4 years of looking at this quarterback,
I would like to move on if it was possible, right?
Okay.
But just because I feel that way doesn't mean I can ignore the evidence he's providing this year, which I think is pretty good given the circumstances. But
he's okay.
See, Key is saying,
if you get a dominant receiver, you may be able to do something.
Right.
Maybe.
Right.
But to keep Saquon Barkley, you're going to have to make him one of the top four highest paid running backs in the game.
Jay, you are a fan of many teams.
Many teams.
Depending on who's making you money.
Mm-hmm.
But the constant for you is the Giants. Yep. That's your team.
Yeah.
But you also played in Chicago. You had Michael Jordan's locker when you were the second overall draft pick in the NBA. You have ties to that area. And you are a Bears fan. You're also kind of a Bears insider in a way. Which team has the brighter future, the Giants? Not to mention David Tyree is your cousin. You're sort of a Giants insider, too. Which has the brighter future, Giants or Bears? Which team?
I would probably say that the Giants, due to management. I like Ryan Pohl. I think there's a lot to be said about learning on the job, first year on the job, right? I don't know enough about Matt Eberflus yet to see where this system is going. I do like Justin Fields. I like that foundation of what they're doing. I like David Montgomery and company. But I like the foundation that the Giants have built pretty quickly, by the way, between Joe Shane and – because I've seen how that process – we talk about all the time, how that process has worked for them in Buffalo. And I'm seeing the way the team has fought for Brian Daboll and Joe Shane thus far. So I would probably lean more towards the Giants.
Yeah, Key, even though Justin Fields may have more upside, mm-hmm. I agree about the Giants. Not because I'm a Giants fan, but because I look in football at GM coach first, like who has the best coach. And I like what I'm seeing from Daboll so far, and I like what I'm seeing from Shane so far. So I trust the front office and coaching staff on the Giants. Small sample size, but also given what's going on in Buffalo and everything, and that's the tree that we took the fruit from, right?
Yeah.
I like the Giants' future better. Yeah.
It's a little bit different. You got two different organizations. You got one that got a lot of cap space next year, a lot of money to spend in free agency. And then you got the Giants that kind of started building something a couple years ago but had the wrong coach leading the charge. So, you know, different situations.
Jeremy Fowler, ESPN senior NFL reporter, is with us now. So, Jeremy, I know that the smart – football move would be to trade Saquon Barkley while his value's high to a real contender. I can't do it as a Giants fan. Can't do it. I love him. I like to watch him. He gives me a reason to watch on Sundays. I don't think you can get equal value for him given what everything he does. I would keep him and I would pay him. I can't help it. Am I nuts?
No, because Max, you have your future quarterback. Your future franchise quarterback can take snaps under center, can run the ball. Maybe he'll throw it a little bit. I mean, this is a guy who's going to carry your offense this year. And whether you can keep up this winning or not, this could be a season for the ages for a guy who's highly motivated on a contract year, who 2 years ago was probably the best back in the league, you could argue. So I think he stays. I would be pretty surprised that, you know, GM Joe Shane is aggressive in nature, but maybe he'll field some offers, and if there's one that they can't refuse, they could move on that. But teams aren't going to be overly eager to trade major capital for a running back at the deadline. It's just not a position now that spurs a lot of action.
Yeah, and the way that I look at it, Jeremy, I say, you know, take it all the way up to the deadline, see where you're at, but you also got a financial commitment that you have to make to this young man after the season. Franchise tagging him, I know first thing come to people's mind. But I can tell you, as a player in the National Football League, players don't want to be franchise tagged. And when you tag a guy, you lose a spirit in him. So do you want to run that risk?
Yeah. I'm not so sure. I love the franchise tag for that reason, because you're right. It does sometimes strip the soul of a player. But then it can also be good business. We've seen it with Kirk Cousins. We've seen it with other players like Tremaine Johnson made huge money off two franchise tags and then got a big deal, and he wasn't even necessarily an elite cornerback a couple years back. So it can actually work in your favor because it's 1 year of guaranteed money. That's the issue with Lamar Jackson and all these other guys. That's the guaranteed money. Well, at least this is 1 year locked in. The problem is running back franchise tag number probably wouldn't be huge, so that might be prohibitive for Saquon. But look, at that point, they might work an extension out because, you know, he's only going on year five. His carry numbers are really not that high because he was hurt, and he's one of the most explosive backs in the league right now.
Guys, that play he made yesterday when he turned what basically a sack in the backfield of the running back into 16 yards or whatever it was, I don't think anyone else in football can do that. The size, strength, speed, you know, elusiveness, everything. I think he's the only player who could do that.
Jeremy,
running back.
Landon Collins is actually visiting the Giants today. What more can you tell us about that?
I just reported this morning that the former three-time Pro Bowler as a New York Giant is going to visit the team today to work out for him, to meet with him. Giants are looking for linebacker help. They need it in a big way due to injuries. So Landon Collins could look at some other options like an A.J. Klein, a good veteran who's still out there. But I do expect the Giants to sign somebody this week before they go to London, and it could be a reunion with Collins, who's been on the market for a while, a really good player. There have been a lot of good players that are just sort of waiting for the right opportunity right now. And a lot of times they have to start on a practice squad, work their way back into shape onto a 53-man roster.
If only they had a guy like James Bradbury, you know.
Oh, Jeremy Fowler, ESPN senior writer, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max. How surprised were you at halftime to see that the Steelers bench Mitch Trubisky in favor for Kenny Pickett?
Yeah, Key, I was mildly surprised. I wasn't surprised because people around the league I spoke to, executives, scouts, like they kind of put the over-under on Pickett entering the game at four games this season, just because first-round picks play. Like, that's sort of an NFL truism right now. Unless you're Jordan Love or Trey Lance or a unique circumstance, those guys play. But at the same time, the way Mike Tomlin set things up, Trubisky took all the first-team reps dating back to April. He was named a team captain. So you're thinking, like, okay, he's going to get an extended run here. I'm not wholly convinced that Trubisky won't play this week. We'll see how Mike Tomlin plays it, but they needed a spark in this particular game, and they can always go back to Kenny Pickett later. You know, Trubisky didn't play the way he wanted, and they couldn't hit those explosive plays. I also thought they were probably pressing too much to hit those explosive plays. He didn't necessarily make huge mistakes this year either, where the interception on Sunday wasn't his fault. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they went back to him at least for one game.
There's something there. Hey, what's the latest on Dak's injury?
Yeah, so, you know, his hand is healing maybe even faster than they thought. You know, they're hoping for 4 weeks from the surgery, and he's tracking really well for that. So to play against the Rams next week, you know, that the stitches would have to be completely healed up, dissolved for the most part. It would have to be a situation where he's not going to re-aggravate it and worsen it if he gets hit again. So that's hardly a slam dunk for him to play. But, you know, meanwhile, they got Cooper Rush. This is not a situation where they're just going to keep playing Cooper Rush if Dak Prescott's healthy. But if Dak can't go or if it's a 50-50 call, certainly, you know, winning is infectious in this league. And if you got a guy who's winning for you, they wouldn't mind one more game either.
Jeremy Fowler, ESPN NFL insider, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Jeremy, we've been having a lot of discussion around the NFL's concussion protocol. The league's protocol has been in the spotlight since Tua's injury on Thursday night. But Cameron Brate was allowed to re-enter last night's game before actually going into concussion protocol. Why does this keep happening? If you're showing any concuss-like symptoms, why wouldn't the NFL keep you out of that particular game?
Yeah, Jay, I think these teams are faced with dozens of judgment calls every game. I really do. You know, hits that look sort of awkward, but okay, I think he's okay. I think he's not. Like, you obviously need to err on the side of caution with those. This one seemed, from what I remember watching, a little less blatant than the Tua issue. Because the Tua issue at hand is the gross motor instability, right, that he showed in the moment. That's supposed to be, according to the protocol, a no-go for going back in the game. So if they're going to tweak the protocol and make it so where if a guy shows any symptoms of being wobbly, you take him out of the game, That's really supposed to be how it goes now. It's just that they're going to have to strengthen that argument and make sure it's ironclad moving forward in an agreement between the NFL and the NFLPA. But, you know, the Brait situation, yeah, should he have been, evaluated further? I don't know. We got to find more out, from the Bucs and from that whole process. But I do think there are plays like that where it might not look like an awful helmet-to-helmet hit, but, you know, in scrums and piles and, you know, crossing traffic between receivers, I think that happens a lot more often than we know. And so there are judgment calls being made at all times. Mm.
Thank you, Jeremy Fowler, as always.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
Like everyone just assuming Dak, as soon as he's ready, he gets it. It's probably right. They probably do give him the ball. I'm just saying I think that's a mistake. I wouldn't mess with a team that's winning.
You should be happy then, Max.
I'm very happy as a Giants fan. Giants are 3-1. They're going to give the ball back to Dak. They'll try all kinds of fancy stuff with Dak. They'll start turning the ball over. Now all of a sudden that defense is not going to win as much. Oh, I love it. But I'm talking about the Giants and the Cowboys here when the best team in the NFC East, the Philadelphia Eagles, might also be the best team in the NFC, period.
Or
the NFL. The best team in football, right? Or the NFL, period. Does Jalen Hurts have anything left to prove?
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, now on ESPNU. Click more on the lower right-hand corner of the app, scroll to Live Radio, and find us right there. Take us with you. We're presented by Progressive Insurance.
I was just sitting here thinking about what Yates was talking about during the break when he's talking about we don't have clouds and it's not gray out here and it affects our mood. And, you know, I'm like, yeah, that's true. We have – the skies are bright, and yes, but there's other places in the world – where it's dark and it's gray and it rains, like Seattle and Portland and some of those places, and they don't act overly aggressive.
Because you understand in New York, on the eastern seaboard, but especially New York City,
they got it in New York too.
Population density, what that is, people living on top of each other. Let's get a little more aggressive.
That's not what he wasn't talking about that. He specifically was talking about the weather. Mm. And there's other places, because we're talking about West Coast, East Coast, there's other places in the Pacific Northwest where
gloomy.
It looks, you know, it's gloomy. It's, yeah. It's you know.
Yeah. West Coast vibe, though.
Northern California, same thing. But I don't see people overly aggressive
but
on
you notice,
any and everything.
But
it's a little bit aggressive in San Francisco.
Here's the flip.
No.
But he's saying Northern California. Well, right. But here's the flip of it, though. You do notice most warm weather places, people are more laid back. Whether or not you notice that in all colder weather places, they're more aggressive, you do notice that. And so I guess relatively the northern places are compared to – like when it's warm and sunny out, people are a little more laid back. It's true.
But that's not what he was talking about specifically New York City.
Yeah, but it's relative is my point.
The West Coast.
So like you could say Portland, they're not like in New York. That might be true, but it's not exactly like L.A. either.
No, it's not. Nothing's like L.A.
There you went.
LA.
Nothing like L.A.
L.A.
Oh my God. So, you know, but I thought it was, he was just telling me you know, he was just bringing that to my attention. And I'm like, wait a minute, man. I've been in a lot of gloomy states, and they're not like overly aggressive and trying to run you, mow you down if you walk across the streets. No, you know?
Most of the aggression comes from the fact that 20 million people are living like within a square block of each other. That's the main
just
thing.
Just stay downtown or hang out uptown. You'll be fine. You don't have to go to Midtown. Midtown's where all the aggression's at.
Oh, it's pretty aggressive uptown and downtown, too.
Not as much downtown. Downtown ain't
a little
like
more
that.
Laid back.
Yeah.
I mean, I live downtown, so.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yes, you live in that $50 million penthouse.
I wish.
Shh, Key, don't tell people that.
Are the Eagles the best team in the NFC? That's the question. Forget about my penthouse. Are the Eagles the best team in the I don't live in a penthouse. Are the Eagles the best team in the NFC? Right now, they're in the penthouse in the NFC East. Am I right? All right, here's Jalen Hurts at the post-game presser on the win in spite of the gloomy weather conditions, as Key would say.
I'm so proud of how this team played, how we handled the conditions outside. You got crosswinds going 20 to 30 miles per hour. It's in the 50s, and it's just raining sideways. And we're able to be pretty efficient in everything that we did. That's a great team win.
Like, see, I like him. Yep. Oh, I like him a lot.
Yeah, me too.
I really do. And he wears nice suits at the press conference.
Coach's son,
Keith. He looks professional, exactly the way Joe Burrow's supposed to look at the quarterback spot. You know, Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles, in my opinion, are the best team in the National Football League. Their record indicates that. Their style in which they play indicates that. I mean, there's nothing. They knock down the pins that are in front of them. And they keep it moving. They spotted the Jacksonville Jaguars 14 points. Many of us felt like, you know, Jacksonville's turned the corner, especially with Doug Peterson. They're going to be okay. They're going to fight for their division, go to the playoffs. They took them to the woodshed after that.
Yeah, Jay, it does seem to me like they draft Josh Allen up in Buffalo because you want a guy built for the weather, right? Built for the climate. Big, strong kid, can run, can throw, big arm. Hurts is kind of not, he's not Josh Allen's size, but he gives you some of the same stuff. You can win in inclement weather. Mm. You can win in nice weather. You can win through the air. You can win on the ground. And he's a leader, obviously. Like, they got the guy. And right now, I think they are, at this moment, the best team top to bottom in the NFL.
Well, their defense is incredible, right? There was a moment that happened the other day where he, you know, he obviously had a rushing TD, but where, you know, so many quarterbacks slide. And we talk mostly sometimes about quarterbacks who use a truck stick, right? Like a Josh Allen. Well, his touchdown he had yesterday, he literally tried to run through the defender. And it was a moment where people wondered if it was a fumble or not, but they said the ball had crossed the plane. It was the way he got up to me, though. It was the way he got up and kind of stared at the crowd in that moment. It was like, yo, y'all rock with me. This is who I am. It doesn't, and I know he hasn't gone through major adversity yet, being the lead guy for this team, but there's something innately about the way he leads, about the way he plays, that makes you believe in him. His teammates believe in him. You can't say that about other starting quarterbacks in the NFL.
I think that's such a big thing, Key, that Jay just said. Like, I'm thinking about certain personality dudes, right, that the fans and teammates rally behind, and that's a huge part of it. One of the reasons I think Patrick Mahomes is number one is, to me, he looks like Aaron Rodgers, but with a little more of that Favre excitement, you know, like a little bit more daring, and the fans and the team embraces that. And to me, that makes everybody overperform, right? Jalen Hurts not only is being smart with the way he's playing football, and he's got the arm and he's got the legs, the fans like him. His teammates love him. You can see the effect.
He's got a damn personality. He's not a board.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are boards that play the quarterback position. And what I mean by board, I mean just stiff, just there. They don't even move. Nice and easy. That's not Jalen Hurts. You know, that's not Lamar. That's not Patrick Mahomes. That's not Aaron Rodgers. They're not boards. And so players tend to follow guys like that. Even Terrific Tom has started to loosen up in his older age and not be a board. He was a board at times in New England. You know, and when you are bored, you look at a guy in the huddle, you're like, even though he's winning, it doesn't excite anybody. And so I think Jalen Hurts' situation, his style of play, but also his personality.
Personality.
Personality, it drives a lot. When people walk into the locker room or get into that huddle with you, they already feel positive about what the outcome going
to
be.
From the locker room to the huddle, you feel good about the guy.
Absolutely.
I've mentioned this a lot. People who are comfortable or uncomfortable in their own skin. I will give you examples. Jalen Hurts seems very comfortable in his own skin. He's up at the press conference. You ask him a question, he gives you an answer. The answer is coming from him. He doesn't have to do a whole bunch of filters because he drank the Kool-Aid a long time ago about football, right? The way he ended up growing up with a coach as a dad. So he tells you the right thing, and he doesn't have to think, okay, this is what I really think. Now let me filter it through the thing and tell them what I think they want to hear. That, to me, there are some guys like that. Cam Newton always felt that way to me. Mm. Alex Rodriguez in baseball felt that way to me. And it affects the way the fans and the team seems to rally behind them. To me, it seems that way. Jalen Hurts is a great example of a guy. Yup, that's a leader. He's comfortable with who he is. He doesn't have to run everything through a whole bunch of filters. He's already internalized all the important lessons, can spit them right out for you because that's who he is.
Even that moment post-game where he embraced Doug Peterson, right, considering everything they've been through together too, it was like you just the way he leads, man, the way he communicates, the way he plays though too. Mm-hmm. Like he's willing to put his body on the line for what it matters, and that your teammates follow that, man. They follow that type of leadership.
Mm-hmm. I felt that Aaron Rodgers for years, I think he's more so now, but early on I thought he doesn't feel comfortable to me. It feels like when he's answering questions, he's thinking about the response and how it'll be received and all this stuff, as opposed to someone even like Favre, who, by the way, has been exposed, you know, post-career for something that you know, that for some ugly,
that was a nice
ugly
way
stuff.
Of saying it.
Well, I mean, come on.
Can't help yourself, man.
But, well, I mean, I'm telling you, it's not that I can't help myself. I'm telling the truth.
But I didn't say you were. It's just funny.
But Favre,
I was waiting.
But Favre came off during his career at times. Like, he's just like, hey, you ask him a question, he'll give you an answer, whatever. And people like that. He didn't feel like, wait, how am I going to answer this? And how are they going to think about me if I sit? Anyway, Jalen Hurts have anything left to prove, Key? Yes or no?
No, nothing to prove it. That to me has been over with for a while. I think people want it to be something more than what it is because they hold a certain package of picks like they did in this past draft. They got more picks in this year's draft coming into the season. Although, despite taking his team to the playoffs in the first year as a starter, many quarterbacks hadn't done that, right, as first-year starters. They didn't do it as first year. Josh Allen certainly didn't do it as a first year starter. Justin Herbert hadn't done it as a first year, second year starter, still trying to figure out how to get out of his own way at times. I could point to many quarterbacks, but they never faced this scrutiny about, well, you know, let's see if he could do this and do that. I think he's proven to people a lot here over the last year and a half as a starting quarterback in the National Football League. And yep. I think Howie Roseman is probably sitting back in Philadelphia saying, okay, how can we get him more help on the defensive side of the ball? How can we get him more help on the offensive side of the ball so we could continue to advance for the next 10 years?
And how can we get him locked up to where it doesn't break the bank? Maybe do it right now.
They got to wait. I think they got to wait till the offseason. Yeah, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, but right now, meaning, yeah.
Yeah, they got to wait, and they'll get it done. And it'll be very costly, but it won't be as costly unless –
they win the Super Bowl.
He wins the MVP.
Oh.
Now you got the Lamar Jackson argument.
Yeah.
If he wins the MVP. And if he wins the Super Bowl and the MVP.
It's a wrap.
You got Patrick Mahomes' argument.
From the April 4th trade, by the way, in addition to everything they got, the Eagles have the Saints' first-round pick, which was thought to not be a good one, but turns out, right now, it'd be the fourth overall pick in the draft. Mm. The rich get richer. How big was Buffalo's win over Baltimore, guys? What does this say about the Bills moving forward?
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, Key, you got a bone to pick with something?
No, I don't have a bone to
pick. Alan Yates has a bone to pick.
It's more Alan Yates have a bone to pick, and then I just jumped on his back and was riding the wave because I kind of agree with him.
Well, speaking of East Coast people being overly aggressive at times, here's our very own Alan Yates, who some things just annoy Yates. What's this, Yates?
Nah, man, so I'm sitting here, you know, mid-show. I look up, and I see Josh McDaniels, and he, you know, celebrating first win, whoop-de-doo, but he got a visor on, Max. And my whole thing is, why you got the visor ruined at all? Like, you're not really protecting nothing. You indoors. First of all, second of all, take the visor off. Man, you're not doing taxes. You're not crunching
numbers.
You're
not doing taxes.
Like, I need to see my coach fully covered and protected. Your head open.
You know what a visor's like? It's like the nerd sunglasses, right? Where you're like, what are you doing with those sunglasses on
inside? No, the visor, ooh, the visor is for the smart offensive coordinator. I call plays. Look at me. I
Bieniemy should put a visor on. I'll get a job as a head coach.
You know, that would be true. But you look at, you go to Sean Payton wore a visor. Mm-hmm. John Gruden wore a visor. Sean McVay at times wears visor. Matt LaFleur, visor. All these dudes are visor guys. And they're smart. They're calling. They're dialing up plays.
Doug
look
P.
at me. Who else?
Peterson. He
Doug
visor
Peterson,
too.
Visor guy.
Wonder Kid.
Yeah, I'm a visor. Just look at them. All of them are visor guys. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah, like I'm not a visor boy at all, and I don't like it. I don't want to see that joint, yo. Put your hat on with the top on the top.
I used to rock the visor back in the day, but see, I would turn it around backwards. So
backwards
the
visor.
Yeah, because the
upside
the,
down
the,
backwards,
the
like
strap
criss-cross?
Portion of it. The strap portion was like a headband. Mm-hmm. It was the head. It kind of had like a headband deal on the back part. So I just would turn it around and wear backwards. But that was more
I'll be real,
the look.
On the East Coast, I never have worn a visor one time in my life.
Straight
ever.
Nerd move. Hey, listen.
Ever.
Like it, hey, Jay, you know, this might be before your time, before Yates' time. Can you remember that, I think it was Looney Tunes cartoon where they had the chicken hawk and he's trying to get who's the rooster? What's the rooster called? Everyone knows his name. No one knew his name back in the day. Yeah, Dark Foghorn King. Leghorn, right?
Oh,
and
okay.
and the little nerd chicken guy, chicken hawk
yeah,
kid
yeah, yeah,
is
yeah.
figuring out.
Yeah.
That's like the visor guy, right? He's figuring out the formula in this way it's going to, right? That's what it reminds
Belichick
me
Belichick every now and then drops a visor on. All smart people.
I think you're right, Jay. East Coast folk, we don't do the visor.
No,
like,
we
even,
don't do it.
Even Will Smith went over to the West Coast and put on his jacket in and inside out. Because, you know, it's not we're not wearing the normal stuff, man.
No, I'm not.
Yo,
I'm not
West Coast
that.
Folk.
This looks yuck to me.
It's gray outdoors.
It looks visor. Yuck to me. Visors are gray.
You ever think I got to put on a visor today?
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio. Everywhere you are.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Buffalo Bills championship hopes have taken a bit of a hit because of some of these injuries. I don't know that it's going to be any easier with them facing Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens.
Lamar's a tremendous player. He's an elite player. They can, as an offense, put up points in a hurry.
We play better off adversity. We just got to keep going, though, because long season ahead of us.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, ESPN app. Click Ooh-wee. More. Lower right-hand corner of the app. Scroll down to listen live, and you can take us with you wherever you go. Not tethered to the car, the radio, nothing. Hey, Key J.
Yes, that would be me.
So we've been talking a lot on this show, earlier in the show, especially about Lamar Jackson against Josh Allen and the Bills, the Ravens, Bills. We haven't really taken it from the Buffalo side very much yet. You know, the Eagles are now, people are feeling about them how we were feeling about Buffalo a couple weeks ago. But still, they showed a lot of resolve, I think, to come back in that game against Baltimore. When it looked like they were getting fried early in the game. Where are you with Buffalo right now, Key? Like, going forward, how good do you think they are?
I still think they're a good football team. They got to shore up their back end and the secondary, get healthy back there. You know, still continue to do the things that they can do, figure out how to get other receivers involved other than Stephon Diggs, start to involve the tight end and Knox. But I think they're right there in the top three teams in the AFC conference for sure. No question about it. They're just doing it in the second half of football games opposed to in the first like they did against the Tennessee Titans.
See, I think their defense made some plays yesterday down the stretch. I really have to give it to them, though. And that's why I thought he kind of regained a little bit of an advantage in the MVP conversation along with Jalen Hurts. I know Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, all these four are in the conversation. But single-handedly, man, it's like watching the way Josh Allen got them back involved in the game. Like, watching how he took it upon himself. Like, that, the way they scored before the half, he drove the ball all the way down the entire length of the field. And Key talks a lot about conditions and weather. And I know up in Buffalo, but it continued to play through them, right? I know he has more of that up in Buffalo, even though his game was in Baltimore. But playing through those and making plays and keeping things on the ground. I mean, led his team in rushes, led his team in passing yards once again. I mean, he gets the job done, man. He gets it done at a very high level.
He does. I mean, I think the – on this show, we've had a little bit, I think, Key and me, a little Josh Allen backlash only because the hype train was on him to start the season. It's not that everyone's not very high. Josh Allen's a great player. Let me just say, he's great. You can't ask for a stronger arm. I would say he probably has the strongest arm in history among quarterbacks who could really play. He also is legit fast. He looks athletic when
he runs.
There
was know, there was a guy named John Elway.
I get Max. It, but that's what I'm saying, Key. I'm saying, like, I think I would even take his, like, pure throwing. It might be Josh Allen.
Josh Allen. Okay, go ahead. I
know what you mean.
You,
yes, that's the conversation among quarterbacks who really play. John Elway is up there, too, but he's in that conversation. And once you're in it, you might win it. Unless
there's another guy that was down south that wore 13 and arm was crazy strong, too.
No question. But
I'm
but
just saying.
Once are you definitively telling me they had stronger arms than Josh Allen?
Man, John Elway?
Definitively a stronger arm than Josh Allen.
I'm not going to say definitively.
Right,
no, I'm not going to say that because I can only see Josh's arm. I never play with Josh. I play with John.
So you caught the ball.
And that thing's different.
Yeah, you know,
fingers get sometimes broken up and twisted a certain way when you mess around with dudes like that.
I hear you. I'm just saying he might be because you can't say definitively anyone has a stroke. And considering how he's developed, that takes real – not only fortune in terms of how the situation you're put in, they get you Stephon Diggs, they get you everything you need, but also your own character to keep pushing and keep getting better. So I get all that.
One thing he does for his size is he moves around pretty damn well.
Man. He can move. But Key, there was a little hype I felt that was jumping him ahead of Patrick Mahomes that I resented a little bit because – it's like, wait a minute.
But that's not Mahomes, his fault.
It's not his fault.
That's
against Josh Allen.
What the
nothing.
Public sentiment is not on the player. It's 100%. What the public sentiment is.
But still, it can cause a little bit of a backlash. Like, if you want someone to go against your point, be hyperbolic. you know, speak in exaggeration. If in fact this is a good technique, if you want someone to root against a player, like your sports enemy, your father, your brother, your sister, whoever it is that you argue with sports about, someone on this show, start exaggerating someone's good qualities that they like, and they'll start naturally pushing back. Well, wait a minute.
Well, you might as well not listen to sports talk radio then. Right. That's on every.
but I do think there was. So the Bills are excellent top to bottom. Josh Allen's a great, great player.
They did what they needed to do for me, which was opening day, go out to Los Angeles and beat the Super Bowl champions on the road in their stadium when they're getting the rings and they're dropping the banner and they're doing all that. That, to me, was a answering the bell, because prior to that, they really hadn't given you, or Josh Allen hadn't given you a signature moment. He's giving you, oh, my God, he's battling Patrick Mahomes back and forth. I can't believe this. But he's never finished it. So going into Los Angeles and finish it, he passes one test. Now there's another test to pass, right? Who's he going to play? Well, he lost to Miami. And he missed that one. Now it's like, okay, what he got? He's going out to Baltimore. It's going to be tough. He's going to be rain, this, that, and the other. He's got to pass the test. Well, he passes another test. He's yet to get to the final. You know, there's tests along the way throughout the semester. And he's passing the test along the way throughout the semester. The first half of the Baltimore Ravens game, he had to retake the test in the second half. Eventually, he passed it. So now you move on to the next one, and then the next one, and then the next one, before he actually gets to the final. And once he gets to the final test, let's see if he aces it.
I think that's right. I also think that until – I don't want to say this about Josh Allen, guys, because it's not exactly true – It feels like, you know, something, nothing good ever happens for that guy type thing. It's hard to say that because he's so much talent, so much development, such a good situation. It just feels like they come up against the Chiefs like last year. They do everything right. They still come away with a loss.
That's the way it's been thus far.
It feels like.
It's like the Bulls game by the Pistons to a degree.
Well, if you consider him my –
I don't think you have to translate it to if I consider him Michael Jordan.
Why did you even bring up the NBA, though, Jay?
Because it was more about –
Why did you do that?
Because it was easy.
Getting over the hump. It was a simple analogy,
getting over the hump.
But I think it depends on
Max just starts running away with
whose story do you think it is? And the story of the NFL, to me, it's Patrick Mahomes' league. It's his story. And it felt like the narrative in the media shifted very quickly to it's Josh Allen's story. Not yet.
I don't think it's Patrick Mahomes' league, because it moves week to week depending on when they're playing and who's watching.
But Mahomes always there, Key. He's always in the championship game.
Aaron Rodgers is always there, too.
No, he's not always in the championship game.
Yeah, but he's always there. And no, he is always in the championship game. Every single year he's been in the NFC championship game. What do you mean?
No, it's what? Literally every year of Patrick Mahomes' career. His career is 4 years old. Yeah, he's in the championship game every year.
But Aaron Rodgers in that championship every year too. Now
let's talk about Mahomes coming up. Keyshawn, Jay Will and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and the ESPN app.
He's Michael Jordan.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, Jay Will and Max, live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.